This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. Not intending to come in tomorrow. It is episode 398. Two more to 400. And then we're 1/5 of the way to 2,000. Which, at this rate, I've been doing this almost 8 years. 4 more years to go. Am I even going to be alive that long? That will... I turned 38. 58. So, is that right? 1,500, blah, 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 blah. Another 30. 1/5 of the blah, blah, blah. Another 32. So I'm 58. 32. 90. Piece of cake. Got it in the bag. Anyways, I don't know if I'm going to be doing this when I'm 90, but that's the goal, 2,000 episodes. Anyways, it's been an eventful week. I have notes on a completely different topic, which is a fascinating topic. It's actually girl-boy stuff again, but it comes right out with the stuff I was talking about. It was a TED Talk, so, I mean, I've got notes. But, you know, it's awfully hard not to reflect on the presidential election this week. Wow. So many things to talk about. So, rundown as to what's going on, blah, 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 then we'll get to that, and then if we have time, we'll get to my actual notes, and if not, well, I'll keep my notes till next week. All is well at work. We're puttering along, getting ready to start training up our developers on business process management. That's all going fine, you know, making progress on multiple fronts at the same time. All is well. Writing is going fine. This is actually the end of week 6 of the first sprint. And I'm over 60,000 words, which is where I wanted to be. I should be at 65,000 words before the weekend is out. And then we'll see. You know, I'd love to get to 70,000 words in 6+ weeks. I started out with a little tiny piece of a week, and I managed to put together 4,400 words for that, because that's the easy part. So, you know, that means if I make it, I'll be at 64, probably a little, be 65 probably by Saturday, depending on how everything goes, although I do have some other stuff I have to do on Saturday. 3,000 words on a Sunday, although I do have some other stuff to do on Sunday. And then a few little piddly words here Monday and Tuesday maybe, and then I start editing on Wednesday. Or I could delay editing until the weekend and start editing. And so it's quite possible I'll just push through to 70. Although I have written myself into a corner a little bit that I may need some thinking time on. And so who knows, I may just go ahead and close it up and get editing. We'll see. There's only been 6 weeks to read the book this time, and it always kind of puts the beta readers in a little bit of a bind because it's a little faster than 2 months. But I've had several of my beta readers going, I'm working on it. Okay. You know, at some point, it's a very interesting process. This is just very interesting, especially now, because, you know, we're 5 books into it at this point. So some of my beta readers actually hopped in at this point, which means that when I handed out the books to them, I said, okay, there's 1,600 pages that went before this. But I did hear back from one of my beta readers, and he said, you know, he said, I didn't even read the review stuff. I just started right in. And he said, I think you did a good job making it accessible to people who haven't read any of the other books. Well, hey, good. You know, there you go. But, you know, it's interesting because this book was linear where the other ones were sort of frenetic in the way they hopped around. So that may have slowed down the pacing for some. You know, all I can do as a writer is I just keep writing. And as long as I'm true to my vision, I do think I'm at cross purposes with some of the expectations of some of my beta readers. It's really hard for them to not expect this to be something like Star Trek or Star Wars. There is an expectation of who's going to win. And I just don't quite have the same definition of winning as other people do. So that's going to be fascinating to watch, how that all plays out. Haven't really settled in with the current book. I mean, I'm 200 pages into it, but I really haven't settled in with how quite a few of the storylines are supposed to wrap up. I mean, I've got all the balls in the air, but I don't know. We'll see. The great thing about this is now I get next week, I have a 5-week break from it where I can focus on something else, pick up some threads from book 5, maybe integrate them into book 6. You know, there's all kinds of things that I can do. And with writing, there's always another option. So that's a really fascinating thing with writing. There's always another option. You can always make something up. I probably mentioned already that I have one of my beta readers that nitpicks a little bit. Well, okay, but you said in here and you said in there, and I just kind of off the top of my head come up with an explanation for that. And he kind of looks at me and I'm like, man, I can explain anything away. So it's fine. It's fine. Anyways, so all is well there, all is puttering along. So, big week this week. You know, through this whole election cycle, I have just watched this and seen how improbable this has all been. How incredibly unlikely this has all been. Dare I say impossible? Wow. You know, and I think I mentioned last week that I've just had this feeling like, you know, if this was a story, there would be some big dramatic reveal. And then Trump would get in. Well, there was a reveal last Friday with the emails. We're checking into it again. And then on Monday, it was like, we didn't find anything. And there will be all sorts of conspiracy theorists that will have all sorts of explanations for what is actually going on there. But wow, what an election cycle. And no matter what you want to say about the guy, Donald Trump, he pulled off something stunning. Absolutely stunning. Never before as a man with zero political experience and zero military experience ever won the presidency. He comes into this with so many negatives, so much bad press. It's just incredible. It's how in the world? I mean, it really is. It's just stunning. And if there had been just a few other things different, it would have gone differently. I'm convinced of that. If the Democratic candidate had not been Hillary Clinton, I don't think Trump could have won. I just you know, if you had somebody that was just a little bit centrist, but you had two people with such high unfavorable ratings, it was just... I was reading some stuff today about the fact that Hillary Clinton outspent Donald Trump 2-1. Donald Trump only raised, if I remember right, 1/3 of the money. Something like 1/3 of the money that Hillary Clinton did. The guy, the media is completely against him. The whole entertainment industry is ragging on him and insulting him and making him look like a fool any chance they get. You know, the media is just, can't believe this idiot clown, blah, 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 has even made it this far. His own party, the top leaders in his party reject him. So he's got no ground game. He's got no political party behind him. It's very few. He's got no favorable media. Everybody who writes a story on the rallies are all saying about how racist they are and homophobic and misogynistic. And I mean, it's just incredible. And yet, he wins the presidency. And I've heard people say at this point, the mainline media, one of my buddies was quoting them at one point, that they came out and they said, you know, all the analysts we had, everybody missed it. They said, which means that Donald Trump was the only one who got it. Now, that's not quite true, because there have been other people, like Michael Moore. Michael Moore was convinced very early on that Donald Trump was going to win the nomination of the Republican Party. And his reasons were quite harsh. I mean, he just lambasted those people who would vote for Trump. You know, along the same lines of Hillary Clinton with her basket of deplorables. Oh, that was not the right thing to say. Just, there's so, when you look back on it now, so many things that people said that I'm sure was just not the right thing to say. Because we had an amazing voter turnout this time. It's amazing. It's just amazing. You know, when that video came out early on, when it looked like it was going to be Hillary versus Trump, and they got all those stars lined up, and they made the video, and basically they said, we're really important. And, you know, we wouldn't be taking the time to do this if it wasn't really important, because we're busy and important people. And so we're telling you what you should do. And I told my wife when I saw that, I said, did you see that? She said, yes. I said, I don't think that's going to help their cause. I just really don't. You know, and then of course Hillary with her basket of deplorables. And like every turn, the Trump supporters are just talked about in these condescending tones. And it's, you know, that they're just a bunch of idiots. Oh. It's an amazing thing. Just this, I mean, it's historic. And then there's been so many things that, oh, you've got to feel so bad for Hillary Clinton. I mean, if she actually comes back and tries again, I will be stunned. I will just be stunned. Because she's the heir apparent in 2008. And Barack Obama comes out of nowhere and knocks her off. She's the heir apparent in 2016. She has waited 8 years. And in the process, has been Secretary of State and was at the helm with the Benghazi thing, set up her own email server, and just piled up more stuff for people to use for ammunition against her. And then Bernie Sanders comes out of nowhere because her unfavorables are so high. And apparently there's collusion between the Democratic National Committee to knock off Bernie Sanders. And then all the email leaks start up. Oh! And to top it all off, she's not even running against a politician that all her moves would work with. She's running against a guy who doesn't even prepare for the debates. He just stands up there and goes off the cuff. Oi! Oi! You just gotta feel so bad for Hillary Clinton. I mean, she gave, well, her speechwriters wrote her a lovely speech. They did. Her speechwriters, they did a beautiful job. They wrote her a lovely speech, and she delivered it with great passion and great grace. She did. You gotta imagine, though, you just have to imagine that Tuesday night when they're watching the returns come in and things start turning, that there was a whole lot of cussing going on in that room. Wow. It's just... wow. I had a buddy who said that he really hoped that the documentary crews, that she had a crew with her doing a documentary, because he really wants to see, and frankly, I do too, that election night, what that looked like. I mean, from what I saw, you talk about shock and awe. I mean, I was writing Tuesday night, and I had determined, you know, this Hillary Clinton's going to win this thing. She's just going to win this thing. You know, she's got her ground game. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I just thought, well, okay, nothing is ever stuck, and she's, and that's it. And fine, you know, she's prepared for this long. She's got her ground game. They've got the get-out-the-vote thing. You know, Trump doesn't have any of that. There's no way he can compete with that. Blah, 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 blah. I heard him before the election saying, you're going to be surprised because all the coal workers and the steel workers, they are going to come out in force in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and we're going to take this thing. Like, all right, sure, right. And of course they did. But you just got to feel so bad. And I mean, it really would be fascinating. So I was doing some writing. I think it was the Washington Post interactive map up, and I was watching it, and I'm looking at this map going, and it was very well organized because you had the solidly Republican states listed with the possible Republican states, the toss-ups, the possible Democratic states, and then the solidly Democratic states. And early on, there was some mixing of them, but I mean, man, when you got into the 9:30 hour there, everything was just falling for Trump in anything you could reasonably expect it to fall. So, I mean, it was the solidly Republicans, the marginally Republicans, the toss-ups. I mean, I don't know how New Hampshire ever ended up, which was a ridiculously close race. At one point, it was like 15 votes ahead for Hillary. You know, but when Florida was neck and neck for a while, and then Florida went, I was like, oh, okay, there's a chance here. And then when all the big blue wall states up in the Rust Belt, when they started leaning, I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, I wasn't planning on staying up because I just usually go to bed, but about 10:30, I think it was around 10:30, my son-in-law called and he said, can you believe this? Wow. I mean, he was in the same boat that I was in, frankly. Neither of us wanted to vote for Trump. Neither of us did. And I agonized over it. For weeks before, I told my family, you know, the man is an idiot. He's egotistical. But I said, you know, anybody who runs for that office has got to be an egomaniac because it's so hard. You've got to just think you're the center of the universe. No matter what they portray, I mean, wow, who wants that job? But anybody that's that much attracted to power, okay, there's something wrong. But anyways, so I was really trying to justify to myself how in the world I could vote for Hillary Clinton. But when that third debate rolled around, and she apparently thought she had the thing in the bag, and so she was just going to announce what she was going to do, and they started talking about third trimester abortions, and she absolutely just came down and said, look, you know, babies in their mother's wombs are human lives, but they don't have any rights. Whoa, you know, that was it. That was just it. And like a lot of people, I'm sure it wasn't so much a vote for Trump as it was a vote against Hillary. Not because she was a woman, but because of all the stuff, because of the email servers. Because she gave response times for how long it takes for the ICBMs to get to Russia. You know, there's just stuff like that. It's, oof. So, there you go. And there's been some things, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody who hasn't been a Democrat, a bunch of Facebook posts that I've seen. They're all like, so all these celebrities said they're going to leave. Let's start a fund to help them go. You know, I mean, that's another one of these things. This did not help either. These celebrities saying, well, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada, or I'm moving to Spain, or if I'm moving to... You know, the... That's really arrogant. To say, I'm so important that if I move, there will be such weeping and gnashing of teeth that the rest of us will all sit here and go, please don't leave. We'll vote for whoever you want us to vote. Are you kidding me? I did read an article that, this guy felt like, yes, it was an election of the dispossessed, that there are tons of people up in the Rust Belt that had a quality of life that has all but disappeared at this point. That definitely was a factor. Oh, I gotta go feed the dogs. Okay, hold on a moment. My buddy is still gone. Did I feed the dogs today? I'm not sure I did. That's okay. I overfeed them. They'll be all right. So that, they felt like, was definitely a factor. But they also, this guy pointed out, and I think he's right, not only the insults of the Trump supporters, I think that played a part in revving up the base, but also this whole thing of political correctness. Okay, one moment. I gotta go feed some dogs. I'll be right back. Okay, back. Anyway, so yeah, I heard one commentator talk about the fact that he or she, I can't remember, really feels that this whole political correctness movement that there has been over the past several years, where it's getting just more and more vitriolic from the liberal side, from the left side, that if you don't say things just the right way, if you don't have just the right approved attitudes, then we're just going to eviscerate you because you're just ignorant and racist and all these different things. And I think he's right in that his claim was, so here comes along a guy who doesn't care about any of that. And he just says things that, right out of the gate, he says things that are just incredibly offensive. And yet, you know, I mean, we've got some friends, and we were talking to her early on, and she's very intelligent, you know, disciplined, a good Christian woman, all the things you would expect, and she was a huge Trump. I mean, you know, she was just like, yeah, I like him. She said, you know, says what he means, speaks his mind. At least, you know, he's telling you the truth about how he feels. Okay. Okay, so yeah, that was probably a factor in it as well. I am fascinated to see. I watch Chelsea Handler's show on Netflix. I watch it because I like to hear different viewpoints. And I find the show fascinating. She has been, obviously, a staunch supporter of Hillary. She got a little ticked off. I'm backing into my garage. She got a little ticked off one day when Hillary had been telling the same lie over and over and over again. And you could tell she was a little ticked off at Hillary, because at one point she did this skit on what's going to happen if either of these two pissants actually get elected, which I just thought, whoa. You know, I mean, she was kind of ticked at Hillary that day. Because of the way she had, there's something that it's been proven that wasn't true, and she just kept saying it over and over again. Like, no, that is not true. So anyways, Chelsea uploads a new show Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and Friday morning. That's what her schedule is supposed to be. She is one of the ones who's claimed that she's moving to another country, so maybe she has moved to another country. Well, Wednesday, first thing she said out of the gate, after she did her standard opening, which was, she opens with her back to the camera, and then she turns around and goes, well, hello, you know, and then she starts. That's her gimmick. So she said on Wednesday morning, it was hysterical. She said, so this is being taped before we know the results of the election, so we have prepared two openers. So the first opener is, this is what we're going to do with the first historic woman president. They just had this huge celebration, all these people in costumes and dancing and cheering, thinking it's great, yay, you know, it's great. They're dancing around and they're holding signs like Roe versus Wade forever, blah, 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 you know. And then she said, and here's the opener we're going to use if Trump gets elected. And you see her with her back to the camera, and she spins around, and it's not actually her, it's Ann Coulter. And she says, well, hello, you know, she does the standard open. It was hysterical. And they'd renamed the show to Coulter as opposed to Chelsea, and it was funny stuff. Well, so the show I want to see that I'm really looking forward to seeing is the one from this morning, which is the first one after the election results. Didn't get uploaded this morning. So I don't know if the means Chelsea Handler got so smashed that she couldn't even function yesterday and couldn't get a show taped. I don't know what that means. So I'm it's going to be fascinating. Now, to some other of the stars' credit, but Miley Cyrus came on and, you know, she said, "You're my president now." And she, of course, was all broken up. But she said, you know, that's it. Of course, we've got all these riots that are going on with these students, which who was the guy who does the Dilbert cartoons? I can't remember his name right now. Adams. Is it Adams? Anyways, a buddy of mine sent me something from him. And he said, you know, a lot of these people that are rioting, they're young people because Trump has been called Hitler so much. But what they don't know is they're young. They don't realize that Reagan was called Hitler, that both of the Bushes were called Hitler, that Mitt Romney was called Hitler, you know, by the left, and that most of the European leaders have been called Hitler at one time or another. So he said, what you need to do with them is if you get into a conversation about, you know, them being Hitler, Trump being Hitler, you should just say, you know, this has happened before. And this guy that wrote the article about the political correctness, or no, another guy wrote an article and he said, the left may have overused their it'll be the end of the world scenario too much. They may have cried wolf so many times that if this person gets in, it's the end of the world. It's United States will be in ruins, blah, 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 so much that when they say it now, it really doesn't have the kind of punch that it had at one time. I also heard people complaining about, well, he didn't win the popular vote. Okay, yeah, read the Constitution. You don't have to win the popular vote. You have to win the Electoral College. Although, you know, there's not really anything saying that the Electoral College has to put Donald Trump in. That's the whole point of the Electoral College. Not only does it spread out the responsibilities across all the states so that you can't ignore states, it also means that they can intervene if necessary. I don't think they will at this point. I think one of the big things that's amazing to see, there's two things that are just fascinating to me but completely predictable. One of them was in the third debate when Donald Trump, when they said, will you accept the results of the election? And Donald Trump said, well, I guess you'll just have to wait and see. People are in an uproar. What? He can put our country into chaos. What? I mean, there's just so. And then, of course, he wins. And lo and behold, if the Democrats, who were so upset that Donald Trump would say that, are now rioting, not accepting, not my president. Oh, oh man. And then the other one that's really amazing to me is how many people are on Twitter suggesting that someone assassinate him. Okay, he's the president-elect now. You threaten the president-elect of the United States and the Secret Service gets involved. Now, maybe there's so many of them that the Secret Service isn't going to get involved, but I guarantee you, if Trump is someplace doing something and somebody says he should be assassinated, yeah, the Secret Service are going to take that person into custody. So it's really going to be fascinating to watch. I was talking to the young lady who lives with us at this point, and we were talking about this, that, and the other. And I said, you know, I said, honestly, if Donald Trump gets shot in the head and then recovers from that, that's when I'm going to start getting worried. Because it's been so unlikely. But it's just so fascinating. And one of the people who were writing about and criticizing the people who voted for Trump, because they're still condescending. I actually had a friend send me one article or link to one article about how arrogant and condescending the press has been to Trump voters, thinking that they could shame them into not voting. And of course, they didn't. So that's interesting to watch that whole dynamic as well. And another guy I was reading said that, there's a whole block of voters that are so disenfranchised and they're so tired of all the political correctness stuff. They're so tired of everything being told that everything they believe in is wrong and they're just going to have to give it up, that they really don't think it could get any worse. And there is a certain guilty pleasure in thinking, what if we just elect the guy and see what happens? Because at the end of the day, this is the greatest country in the world. I know there may be some people that are so afraid right now, but that's just escalation. It is the greatest country in the world. There's a whole series of checks and balances in place. Now, I know he's got the House, he's got the Senate, and he's got his own ideas. It'll be fascinating to see how well he works with Congress, but I would guess if he gets into some areas where Congress just thinks it's too much, they'll just back down. Well, they'll just say, no, we can't do that. And that kind of stuff will get resolved. It's just going to be interesting to see if now that he has the most powerful job in the world, does he decide that it's time to get serious and back down, or is he so egomaniacal that he's just gonna keep going with his whole ego thing? If I had to guess, I would say he's probably going to keep going with his ego thing, because in his book he talks about this. He said, we need more ego, not less. When was anything ever accomplished without ego? And that's the way he's run his whole campaign. I'm great. I'm huge. I'm gonna make America great again. But for whatever you want to say about the guy, the guy pulled off a political coup. An amazing, historic political coup. Could he have done it if he was not running against an opponent whose unfavorables were almost as high as his? Probably not. But for whatever you want to say, that was his opponent. And he played it brilliantly. Or maybe he just stumbled into it. But man, looking back on it, he didn't need to buy much advertising. Because he'd just come out and say something stupid and all of the press would just, whoa! And yet, what was considered stupid, there are a lot of people in the country going, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Oh, man, it's a fascinating time to be alive. Now, on a little more somber note, I think a part of Donald Trump's rise and his subsequent election does have to do with the rise of the strongman. I think the parallels that people have drawn between the rise of Hitler and what was going on now are not that far off, honestly. There's a lot of people that are a lot afraid that what they've known as life in America is no longer going to exist, that they're going to be squeezed out, they're going to be disenfranchised. And when that happens, then people vote for someone who will make them secure. It's the same thing that happened at 9/11. People were afraid. Yeah, we don't care if you take our liberties, just keep us safe. Which is part of whole what's going on in this huge book series I'm working on in Windfall. There will be the rise of the strongman, because this is just one of those things that happens when there is perceived danger. Anyways, it's been an absolutely fascinating week. This is Phil Farron, and I made it home.